It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Salut tout le monde. Hey everybody. I am Marc Dumont and I will be your host tonight after that exciting, weird game, really weird game. Now, before we get going, merci tout le monde nous avoir rejoint. I really appreciate everyone. I do have a bit of a hoarse voice today, so j'ai un petit cheval dans ma voix. I was out last night having fun by a campfire in the middle of the forest, basically, with a few friends, so I may or may not have participated in the bourbon a little bit, and a lot of fire, a lot of smoke coming in from the fire. And even I got on my train today to come back to Montreal, which I haven't even had a chance to shower. So you're seeing me in all my prime right now. And the lovely woman beside me took about 30 seconds before she turned around and said, "Hey, I don't want to be rude, but," and I said, "Yeah, I stink like a dirty campfire, don't I?" Anyhow, I'm here with all of you. Et merci, sérieux. Thank you so much for being here. Hello, Melissa. Salut, Kay. Kay's always here. And I do appreciate all of you. Again, thank you so much for joining us. We're dealing with a weird game, especially the Jonathan Kovacevic goal. We're also the Samuel Montembeau when he allowed a goal. That wasn't too fun either. Either way, we'll talk about all that. And we will also talk about maybe some hopes and wishes and some New Year's resolutions for next year. In the meantime, if you could click like and subscribe and all that fun stuff, you know, the same spiel we do every time, we would really appreciate it. Again, I am your host, Marc Dumont. We are talking after it was a 4-3 win by the Tampa Bay Lightning, but there was some good to talk about in there, and I think that's really the story of all this rebuild, is there is good to talk about. Nick Suzuki is looking really good. We're seeing, again, that Struble-Harris pairing doing quite well. We're seeing Slafkovský start to really produce those points. And I was one of the most critical guys about Slafkovský on that top line. It wasn't that he was playing poorly. It was more that the points weren't coming. So we're seeing him slow. He's on pace for 30 points. I know if you're a Leafs fan right now, you're about to make 40 tweets about how that's unacceptable. But not everyone's gifted a generational player. So we always knew Slafkovský would be a project. And here we are. So as Kay mentions in the chat, I don't even care if they won, they lost. You know, they won in my books with the goal. Okay, let's talk about that right off the bat. Kay brings up the story of the night, the Jonathan Kovacevic goal. I love stuff like this. I absolutely love weird goals. Like, and you know, for example, in baseball, when they go to the mound and they kind of talk and they sneak the ball into the first baseman, you know, and then after the guy steps off the base and you're out. It's so cheesy, it's so crappy, but I love it. And this goal in particular was beautiful because absolutely everyone stopped paying attention. Admit it, you stopped paying attention. Everyone here in the chat stopped paying attention. We all stopped paying attention. So, you know, we got to give credit to Samuel Montembeau, I think, for that play. He really was on the ball. He's the only guy, including the in-house DJ, who was paying attention. And I'll say this on top of everything, that goal, to make it serious, to take some fun out of it, was the epitome of the NHL's obsession with never letting a play breathe. When you're in an arena, it's noise all the time. There can't be half a second with, you know, just silence, because that would be the end of the world for NHL arenas. It happens in Montreal too. So, you know, maybe it's a good lesson for the NHL to kind of let plays breathe here and here, you know, once in a while. What are you saying? Are the Lightning going to make the playoffs? We'll talk about that in a moment, Adam. I don't know if they will, but I will say this. They're no longer, in my opinion, a contender, right? And I get what Brisbois was doing by trying to extend it and make the Lightning's window open a little further. You know, we always talk about windows, but it's really about how far you crank them open, right? So in this case, I feel like Brisbois did a pretty good job keeping it open, but, you know, you're seeing guys like Stamkos kind of hit the end of their stride there in terms of their pride. He's still good. I mean, but you still have guys like Hedman who, that pass to Kucherov, first of all, Kucherov is so annoyingly good. He's one of those guys that you just love to hate. Hedman's still very good, but I just don't think they have the guts, like the middle talent to really make it in the NHL anymore, or at least to the final round, because making the playoffs is pretty easy in the NHL. Winning a Stanley Cup, virtually impossible. As evidenced by there's fewer than 3% of every teams win every year. There's your math lesson for the day. So, today we're going to talk about not just the game itself, even though there was a lot of good in there. There was some bad too. We'll also talk about what we want to see from the Canadians in the new year. So if you have any New Year's resolutions, throw them down in the chat and we'll get to those. And again, I do apologize for my voice and my face, although I feel like my mom and my dad are to blame for that. But again, I just got back from the woods, had a great time, did some winter camping there. Also got time, spent time with my son. We played about, not my godson, sorry. We played about, 10 hours of Mario Wonder, or that, I think that's what it's called, Smash Bros. Wonder. Anyways, a lot of good fun. And, you know, my godson's 6 years old. He's probably my best buddy. So I hope, Felix, if you're watching this, go to bed. It's way too late. Go to bed, Felix. Kay wants to give some credit here to Nick Suzuki, and I think that's a great idea. Nick Suzuki, in my mind, and I know I'll probably get accused of being biased here, but in my mind, Nick Suzuki is emerging as a top-line center. And the reason I say that is, okay, points-wise, well, first of all, he's the only guy that's on pace for more than 70 points. And I know a lot of people will say that and say, that's not top-line center. Well, I'm not saying he's elite. He's not in the top 5% of the league, but there are 32 top-line centers here, so you can absolutely say he's a top-line center. He is constantly dragging people behind him. Like, Nick Suzuki is the speedboat to the water skiing of his line mates. And I'm not trying to give to throw any rocks at Slavkovsky and Caulfield, because they're the best line mates he's had. But we can be perfectly honest here and say that Nick Suzuki is often used as a... I can turn my mic up a little bit. Absolutely. Sorry, I know. It's the voice too. Usually I'm a little louder there. Is that better? Let me know if that's better. Yeah, so usually Nick Suzuki has to do all the work, and that's the biggest issue in this lineup. There's just not that talent, right? So we're seeing him finally get some talented teammates or line mates, and he's scoring more, and that's great. But also, his underlying numbers are fantastic. He is one of the top playmakers in the league in terms of creating assists or expected goals off passes. Now, I know we're getting a little finicky, we're getting a little technical here, but he's creating a ton of plays, and if he wasn't playing on a line with, well, essentially the entire lineup other than Caulfield and Slavkovsky for the beginning of the year, he'd probably have more points. Like, Nick Suzuki really is getting Saku Koivu'd. And for those that watched back in the day, you know exactly what I mean by him saying he's getting Saku Koivu'd. The talent's just not there, so I hope they can stick to this line, because we're seeing great possession numbers. And that had never happened before, except when Kirby Dach was there. So the fear was that Nick Suzuki wasn't going to be that good center, because he really couldn't drive the play on his own after maybe the first or second year. Under Martin Saint-Louis, the scary part was Nick Suzuki's numbers crashed harder than my looks coming out of high school. You know, so nowadays we're seeing a guy that can control the puck, that can drive the play, and Slavkovsky's flourishing with him. Caulfield, that should have been a goal right off the bat there, that save by Johansson. He did score, but even Caulfield owes Suzuki a few more points, in my opinion. So it's good news all in all for the Montreal Canadiens top line. And again, I get it. Leafs fans will be weird about it on Twitter and be like, wow, you know, they're not putting up 17 points per game. Hey, I'd love if the Habs, I'm envious of what the Leafs can do offensively, but this is what we have in Montreal, right? So this is what the Habs have to work through, is really get one really good line and then move on from there. And it seems like they have the bones of it. We're not quite there yet, but it seems like we really do have the bones of it. Jake Evans, Kay mentions. Yeah, I don't know. Was Jake great tonight? Was he good? I think... What do I say with Jake Evans? I think there's few players in the entire NHL that give more of an effort than Jake Evans. It's just... Man, like, he really didn't get the when God was handing out that talent, that hockey talent, when Maurice Richard up and, you know, was handing it out, I think Jake Evans was busy on the penalty kill. You know what I mean? Like, if he just had that little bit more talent, I think that Jake Evans would really be a valuable player. Now, we're seeing a guy that, even though people are already giving his job to Owen Beck, I'm not sure it's fair to say that Jake Evans' job is at risk. Eventually, maybe, but right now, he's a guy that you don't have to coach. You can just put out there on the penalty kill, eat up big minutes. He gets the worst assignments, like the worst assignments there, you know? Other than the Canadian soldiers at Dieppe there, Jake Evans gets the worst assignments. So I'll give him so much leeway, and I feel like the whole fan base gives him leeway, and that's absolutely fair. Tamander asks, or is it Tamander? Sorry, I gotta get the name right. Tanmender asks, Allen to the Leafs for Matt Nyes. Yeah, sure, deal. And like a second round pick, right? Let's make it fair. Let's come on there. Allen's the established player in this. You know what's funny, but the Leafs absolutely could use a Jake Allen or even a Caden Primo would put the Leafs in much better health-wise, you know, or just in terms of their healthy run. But I don't think either of them move the needle too much. And from what I heard, the Leafs don't want to move any of their prospects and picks, which they're few and far between. So don't expect much movement in that regard. I think they're hoping that Wall will rebound, you know, once he comes back. So I think that's the game plan there. But look at New Jersey. New Jersey needs a goalie. Tampa Bay, you could argue, needs a goalie. Carolina needs a goalie. These are teams. Edmonton still needs a goalie. They're essentially burning off the pure essence of greatness that is Connor McDavid. So a lot of teams need a goalie. And what I'm hearing, though, and I hear all sorts of things, so take it for what it's worth, but what I'm hearing is that Kent Hughes has actually set a pretty high price for a goalie, and it's the kind of price that you wouldn't expect for a goalie in the NHL. But I'll give him credit. I criticized him before, but he really seems to have kind of nailed this market. Now, there are other teams that have players available as well, right? So, but I think he has the best goalies available in terms of just their overall numbers, goal save above average. They're all top 32. So Ken Hughes might pull the rabbit out of the hat here when it comes to a goalie trade. Sorry, again, for those that didn't hear me to start the show, my voice is very hoarse. Had a great night in the forest, just building fires, hanging out with my buddy and a dog and a couple deer that he chased onto a lake. Then they all fell in the lake. Long story short, we had a lot of fun. So I do apologize for my hoarse voice. Kay mentions here, yeah, Carolina, maybe they have great prospects. Okay, would everyone be okay? And I know this is, maybe it's a bit of a cheeseball trade suggestion, but Caden Primo for Ryan Suzuki and a fourth round pick. Would that be fair? You know what, like, I think Ryan Suzuki really needs a change of scenery. And it's not the worst thing in the world to do favors for a guy like Nick Suzuki that just works so hard for your franchise. And maybe a little draft pick over that. I feel like that would be pretty fair. But the Habs would probably rather move Allen. It's just at this point, again, I know that Hughes wants to hold on to these guys until he gets what he's worth. I'm in the complete other camp. I'm worried that the bottom will fall out of this goalie market. Like, we've been hearing the goalie market is hot for how long now? 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and there hasn't been a goalie trade. This is the hottest the goalie market has ever been, and there's been no trades. So I would maybe temper my expectations if I am Kent Hughes. Trizak has a New Year's resolution. Pick the best player available at the draft as long as the player is a future mid-pairing defenseman. come on, Trizak. We were having such a positive... I haven't even trashed Anderson, who's looked great, by the way. Like, just in general, he's a really good-looking guy. I haven't traded... Oh, I just traded a goalie. Damn it. Okay. All right, fine. Let's get mean. Don't forget, Dickinson is coming up. Is that the London Knights defenseman? He's going to be available when the Habs are picking. So get ready to add a little bit more talent there. I think Kent Hughes and Jeff Gordon are a lot smarter than we give them credit for, and they know that the gamble last year by picking Reinbacher, and I still disagree with the pick, I still might be wrong, was that they knew the caveat with that is that you have to really stock up an offense afterwards. Now, the opportunity to do so only really comes at the draft. So anyways, I think come hell or high water, they will draft a forward. That's my opinion. But you're never set on defense. Again, I always tell this story, and people get mad when I say it, but when Greg Patterson, Jared Tenorti, Nathan Beaulieu, Matt Ellis, who else was there? Darren Dietz. the Habs had like 12 defensemen that were just going to change everything. And it did not work out. So we always have to, like, you can never go wrong with more defensemen. However, that being said, right now the Habs just need a really, really, really offensively gifted forward. Oh, and if you want to hear about my camping trip, I don't know if you can see it, but I was running after the deer and the dog because the dog off the leash, and I got like impaled by a branch last night. So if you see a little bit of a mark there, I'm really wise when I'm in the woods with bourbon and my friends and dogs and deer and darkness. Yeah. Kay asks, how did his hair look so good in the penalty box under the helmet and the sweating? I don't know. But, oh, actually, you can't see. I'm seeing the replay. You can't see. I want to show you the wound. Anyways, this is my hair after, look, I was wearing my toque. I'll show you. This is my hair after wearing a toque for like, for just a train ride, right? And I pull it off and it looks like a Wizard of Oz character gone horribly wrong, right? So Josh Anderson is just a gorgeous, handsome human being. I think that's just it. You know what I mean? Like when God was giving out looks there, he gave with both hands when it came to Josh Anderson. Melissa Fournier Martinez mentions, and Melissa has been in all our shows recently. Shout out to Melissa. Thank you so much, honestly. And everyone, I'm going to get cheesy at the end of the show, and I'm not going to keep everyone too long because I'm sure some of you have plans tonight. I'm not. I'm going to go to bed because I am very tired. I got about an hour of sleep last night, but I'm sure some of you have plans, so we'll keep it pretty short. I do want to thank everyone, and I'll get cheesy at the end too, but for coming on every night. It's weird to me that you would all take your time to listen to us, to participate with us. Really, all the fans, and I don't really think of you as fans. I think of you as the third host, right? Right now, the second host. Because I didn't prepare notes. I came into this knowing that we're going to have awesome people in the chat that I can bounce things off of. So I really, really, really genuinely appreciate it so much that we have everyone here. You're patient with all our stupidity. You allow me to make mistakes left and right. I know that once in a while, I'll scroll down and Kay's probably mentioned, hey, make sure to like the stream. So, and please do like the stream. So yeah, we're just very, very lucky to have an open, supportive community of Habs fans. Honestly, it's great. And not everyone gets this. So we're very, very lucky. And my New Year's resolution will be to remind myself of that going forward. And number two, stop chasing deer in the woods when trying to catch a dog. Again, terrible thing to do. However, and the good news is I tripped over some of the wood when I was chasing them right before they went into the lake that I had cut like 2 hours before. So and chainsawing in the woods is one of my favorite things. So yeah, I had a rough night last night, but it was one of the most fun nights I've had in my life. It was a weird night. As weird as, do you like this? This is a nice little segue. As Jonathan Kovacevic's goal. Man, that was weird. Has anyone ever seen something that weird? Anyone? Because I haven't. That was just absolutely so, so weird. It was the DJ's fault. 100% the DJ's fault. Everyone stopped paying attention because the DJ started blaring the music. And I know we mentioned it earlier, but to me, that stands out as the weirdest goal I think I've ever seen in my life. Mark Daigle asked, it was 4-3 Tampa over Montreal. So essentially what happened was, let's see if I can actually remember this after no sleep, but Caulfield opened the scoring after Nick Suzuki pressured Stamkos. Easy goal for Caulfield. And then Jonathan Kovacevic, what happened was the puck, Samuel Montabeau had the puck. And no whistle, though. There should have been a whistle, but no whistle. The DJ music starts going in the arena. The lights are on. Like, you know, the spotlights? And Montabeau says, like, hey, Chris, like, say, the play's still going. So Kovacevic wakes up and realizes Johansson is out of his net. So he shoots the puck down from 180 feet and scores, and it's 2-0. And the play was alive, man. And usually I'd criticize the Tampa guys and say, you play to the whistle. Nobody plays to the whistle on that one. You know, we all stop paying attention. If you said you stopped paying attention, you didn't stop paying attention, you are a liar, you know? So anyhow, that was the second goal. And then at the end of the game, Suzuki scored his 10th or 11th goal of the year, I believe. Very nice shot. But it was a little too little too late. The Habs had a huge advantage in chances. Montabo allowed the banana of all bananas there in the third period. Or was it the second? Either way, it was really unlucky for the Habs. And it was another one of those games where the Lightning just score on every one of their opportunities, right? Like, the Lightning have the Habs' number. It's so evident that they're such a pain in the head there, you know, just like a stick. Kucherov is just so amazingly hateable because he's so good and so annoying. And essentially he scored, I believe, the game winning goal. Tampa didn't have their best hockey, but the Habs made four mistakes and they got scored on four times. How many Habs fans here? Yeah, I'd say, yo, Mac, you're asking. Yeah, they're pretty much, most of them are Habs fans, but we do get some other fans in here. We're really mostly Habs fans, though, if I'd have to say. That's yeah. Trizek says, you do see the wound? I don't know if I can get, it's kind of weird that I want to show you this so much, but yeah, do you, there's a, this is where the stick went in my head. It could have been so much worse. Anyways, I'm just saying, if a dog is chasing deer in the forest and there's like a mountain, don't, just let them be, man. That's what deer do. They get chased. That's what dogs do. They get chased. The problem was that you could hear coyotes on the other side of the lake, and I didn't want them to run into the lake. That was the issue, because it was really, really thin. And once they got like halfway down, they started to break through the water, and I actually started panicking. But they actually all, at the same time, the dog, basically Magic, who's about 10 years old, stopped chasing, and they all made their way to the mountain. So they all like right away just, okay, we're going to give up this like little game, survival mode. And they were breaking through a little bit, but they all got off the water, and that was great. Kay is saying, please be safe. It's no better to be safe than sorry. That's what I'm saying. You know, someone mentioned to me today, they're like, you never have a boring time. And I never do. Good or bad, terrifying or fun, you know, it's exciting. It's terrifyingly fun. It's funly terrifying. That's my life. And that's kind of what the game was tonight. It was just one of those really weird games. Trizak, that's pretty good, because I would make that kind of joke too. Trizak in the chat says, no, Mark, I don't see a mark. I see a mark. Do you know how bad it was? Speaking of which, I don't know why this just popped in my head. When I was growing up, there was a certain guy called Marky Mark, and he was part of the Funky Bunch. He was actually the rejected guy for New Kids in the Block, which was another thing when I was growing up. Yes, I am old as shit. Anyways, I'm just saying, it sucked growing up when there was a guy called Marky Mark out there. It was just terrible. Just absolutely terrible. Edmund says, that was like a play out of the Mighty Ducks movie. Adam says, yeah, it really was. That Kovacevic goal was just absolutely weird. And guaranteed, the DJ is getting a bit of a talking to. Like, that is so embarrassing. Like, I'm sure Hockey Ops will come and talk to them. And all that stuff, the in-DJ stuff, is usually the marketing team. At least that's what it was in Montreal. And they're responsible. Like, so I'd love to give crap to the Lightning players, but everyone stopped playing there. But I love that stuff. I love when sports go weirdly wrong. You know what I mean? Like, that was the hockey equivalent of a dog running on the field there, like a soccer field, except for it ended up being a goal. And if you actually go back and you freeze frame it, the lightning went on. So Kovacevic had like a backdrop. The puck where it was floating had another another spotlight on it. And then Brendan Gallagher had a spotlight on him, like 30 feet up. So it looked like it was a play. Like, Brendan Gallagher was about to break out in a soliloquy. So it was just a weird, weird play. And if you get a chance, go check it out. I had fun watching, absolutely watching that game. Now, also a reality check, you know, the Habs, even though they outplayed the Lightning, they just don't have the talent to match it, right? That's the issue right now. It's getting better, but there will be more games like this. I do believe the Habs are kind of hitting that all-important, like, make-or-break point. I still believe, and I don't want to be a negative person, because about an hour and a half, and if anyone's in the Maritimes, you're ahead of us from the new year, but the Habs are far away from really competing, yeah. What was this? That was the most Canadian thing. The Habs are really far away from competing, eh? I went to Tim's and I got my flannel donut, eh? Yeah, my standard issue polar bear. And we kind of have to remind themselves that they're bottom five in the league for expected goals. So, like, they're a fun team, a weird team, but not necessarily a good team yet. the bones are there, though. And I think that's what we're seeing this year. This year is all about the bones. Just like in 2004, I actually didn't watch the show. I hope I nailed that. But it's all about the bones. And I feel like you're getting that structure. You finally have that line in place, that top line. You're getting guys like Gouley, who's just becoming more and more responsible all the time. You're seeing Harris and Struble. Just what a kick-ass, you know, pairing they're forming are not always together, but they're also playing so well for being so young. So it's pretty exciting for the future. I think if you add another top 10 pick to this team, and I'm looking at a guy, again, not a defenseman, we're not going to get a Macklin Celebrini, but the talent after Celebrini is still very evident in this draft. And you're looking at guys. Now, there is a particular defenseman that I wouldn't mind the Habs picking other than Dickinson, but we're going to vibe that away. We're going to get, it's got to be only a forward for the upcoming draft. And if you had a really high scoring forward, it would do just absolutely great things. I look at, it's Caden Lindstrom, I believe is his name, right now playing in the WHL. That would be exactly what the Habs need right now. And I think he should have been on Team Canada, if we're being perfectly honest. So, yeah. Yes, as Trizak mentions, and that Marky Mark is Mark Wahlberg. Yes, Mark Wahlberg and the Funky Bunch. Yeah, absolutely. No more underwear ads. You're seeing, yeah, Mark is saying no more underwear ads. That's the one thing that distinguishes me and Marky Mark is our bodies are just a little different. We both have family in South Boston. And I'm not a huge racist. That's the other big difference between both of us, you know. Okay, so yesterday, as they mentioned, and I wasn't there, but Key mentions this is a good point. Good bounce back too, right? From I didn't see the game. It was the only game I've missed. I missed a game last year to go see my godson again. But I'm going to start doing that more often. Because you know what? The hockey will always go on. And I really, really enjoy building snow forts with my godson. But a good bounce back game too, right? Yesterday, from what it sounded like, it was terrible. Like, just absolutely terrible. You know? So just like hairstyles in the early 2000s was just brutal, right? So we're good bounce back, I believe, by the Montreal Canadiens. And one thing I really liked seeing on the bench was Stéphane Lhubédo teaching Justin Barron. Justin Barron is again, he's like the homer on this team, right? He'll fumble the simplest things and he'll pull through at like the crucial times. That's why he's a main character. I absolutely love what he does in the offensive zone in terms of jumping in the play. And you know Martin Saint-Louis is asking him to do that. Comme, je suis 100% certain. One of the things Saint-Louis said this year was Kovacevic, jump in, or Kovi, because they're so original, jump in the play. Barry, jump in the play. Gouley, oh, I guess if it's Gouley, they'll say Gouler, jump in the play. So he'll get a little more rope for his defensive woes, but it's crazy how immediately, the second he has a second, you know, just a moment to think, Justin Barron, everything goes haywire, like completely haywire. And that's what makes him, a very entertaining player. I don't know if Andrew covered this yesterday, but to me, it's crazy that Arbor Jack Eye is still in the AHL. That's crazy to me. He leads the Montreal Canadiens in expected goals, in shot share, in defensive shot. The crazy part is everyone's saying he's been weak defensively. C'est pas vrai. Nerd time. Statistically speaking, Arbor Jack has been has made the greatest defensive impact of anyone. Like way more than Struble too. And I love Struble coming in and playing really well, but there's space for both of them. So I think Jack Eye in the new year, you got to be back in the lineup. Finley, John Beaton, hey, how's it going, buddy? You say, thank you for doing this for us. I don't know if you missed it earlier, but I was gushing. Thank you for being there for me and for Andrew and for everyone else in Game Over. We're really lucky. And all the downloads. We get so many comments from people downloading afterwards that say, we can't be part of the chat, but we kind of feel like it's, you know, they kind of feel like they're part of it just listening. So shout out to everyone that takes the time to watch a dirty man like me that just came out of the woods who smells like dirty campfire and just loves to have fun playing hockey. We really, really, really appreciate all of you. You're a big JB gal, mentions Kate. I love him. For some reason, my mind went to John B. It's like, oh, you're a big John B. Sloop fan by the Beach Boys. I'm tired. I'm very tired. I love him. I genuinely do. And this is where, yeah, but. This is where the but comes in. I need him to be better sometimes. Yeah. I think what we saw with Stéphane Lhubédo was really being like, hey, buddy, like, just, you know that it's, I can't read lips, but I'm pretty sure he's saying, like, stop overthinking it. Rely on your talent, what brought you here. What makes Justin Barron pretty good is when he's not thinking, he just goes for it. And most of the time it works out. Unless it's a bobbling puck, and then he freaks out. But I feel like if he relies on his instinct a little bit more, things will go incredibly well for Justin Barron. All right, so we're going to get in the third segment of the show. If you could like the show, subscribe to the show, come to my house and hang out with me during the show, we would appreciate it. No, seriously, again, I know I'm being repetitive, but we really do appreciate all the support. And I do apologize for, I'm not trying to be weird wispy. I was doing a lot of yelling yesterday and a lot of cigarring yesterday by the campfire. So I do have a very, very hoarse throat right now. Bradford Northern says, merci beaucoup, Marc. Tu es très fort. Non, en fin de compte, je suis très faible. Ce qui était... Moi, hier, ce qui est arrivé, le chien, je l'avais dans la laisse sur la montagne. Puis il est juste parti comme je l'avais dans ma main, là, la laisse. Puis le chien, il a tiré tellement fort. Puis j'étais juste. So, je suis très faible, mais des fois, j'ai des bons shows. So, little French for my fellow francophones there. I'm not going to translate it. Sorry. That's just the way it goes. But we do want to have a French show coming up soon. So that's going to be interesting. I already have some people in place. I'd love to get like a Nicolas Cloutier or Marc-Antoine Godin to come on and just do a French show for tous mes amis francophones. Ça serait vraiment le fun. As Outrage, it's a sexy voice, Mark. Yeah, well, like I feel like this is what people try to do for ASMR. Me, it's just when I have too many cigars. That's really all it is. So I try to avoid the vocal fry, but my vocals are absolutely fried. Kay mentions four. I want him back, but not for the punchy stuff. Okay, she's talking about Arbor Jacki. Kay, our MVP in the chat. I noticed when Arbor Jacki got into a fight, was it yesterday? And it was in the AHL, and he was tentative. He was trying not to get hurt, quite clearly, and he's picking his spot. So I like that. I like that. I hope that the Habs aren't punishing him this year because he fought a little less, like not really. But Arbor Jacki is more valuable, statistically speaking. Again, let's go back to nerd talk, on the ice than in the penalty box. So, you know, that's what you want. You want him playing well, but and you also want him to embarrass Ryan Reeves once in a while. Like, I think, I'm not sure, but did Ryan Reeves just go away after he got bullied by Jacki? Like, I feel like he just faded, like, you know, at the end of Endgame, like, just faded away the career of Ryan Reeves there. So I want him back in the NHL too. And I believe there's room for Jaden Struble and Arbor Jacki. It doesn't have to be one or the other. And I know they're both big, tough, strong guys, but they don't play the same game whatsoever. Jaden Struble's impact is offensive. Arbor Jacki's impact is defensive. And the fact that he could also steal your soul. You know, rest in peace, Zach, the guy who stole his soul. That, again, my apologies. I am very tired. Okay, we're going to wrap it up in a moment with the with some New Year's resolutions, as Trizak mentions. And Trizak asks, what's a New Year's resolution for you? I don't do birthdays. When I was really young, I just kind of opted out. I'm like, I don't want anything for my birthday. When I was about like 12, I'm like, I don't need any of this shit, you know, and I don't want the attention. I kind of opted out of Christmases too. So I just essentially told people, stop buying me gifts. I'll still buy a few people gifts, but it's just kind of like for other reasons, just like they're really important to me. that makes it sound so terrible that no one else is important to me, but I just don't like the idea of being obligated to go out and like, I'd rather be like, hey man, let's go out for $50 worth of beer or $200 worth of meals. You know what I mean? Like to me, that's what I do. You know, when I had my family, what I would do is I go back and I just, hey, let's go for a great meal out. You know, have some time together. You don't need new shoes. I don't need new shoes. Now I will say this. I'm running out of underwear and socks. And that's due to me about 10 years ago putting, or longer, the brakes on the Christmas gifts. And finally, the chickens have come home to roost. Cluck, cluck. Cassian, yes, K. Zach Cassian's his name. The famous former Montreal Canadiens forward who, I won't even get into the real story that would have happened, but one day it'll get out there. It was pretty crazy. Marc Daigle mentions, I visited my father's brother in Montreal once and got lost. Found a phone booth and being from Ontario, there's not a lot there. I figured no problem at all. 7 pages of Daigs later. Oh yeah, I know like 100 Daigs. Just that I played hockey with. And then another 100 that were in scouts. And then another 100 that I played poker with. Another 100 that we were doing wrestling with. Yeah, y a des daigles partout. And there was even one in the that I stood in line at Sport Experts in Ottawa when he signed as the first overall pick for the Ottawa Senators. And there's actually a documentary coming out about Alexandre Daigle soon. And I will say this, il a été abandonné. His teammates hated him. They let him get massacred on the ice. And that was such a weird thing to me, is that the most talented guy, he got all the attention in Ottawa, of course. Because coming into it, like Brad Marsh was like their big name, you know, the guy who scored like a goal every 7 years. So Daigle really got hung out to dry there by the Ottawa Senators. Simon Duchesne says the Leafs have a better future than the Habs. Sure, you can say that. I mean, I can say that the Habs are closer to the Stanley Cup than the Leafs. Doesn't mean any of those things are real. What I will say about this, about the Leafs, is that they absolutely have they lack that bite, that ferocity, that, you know, that, and again, I think Austin Matthews is one of the best players in the world, but you know that stupid, like, happy face he puts on when he's getting knocked around in the playoffs? Arrête-moi donc ça, là, mon Austin Matthews. Like, you're being silly there, and it's not a big deal to you, but it's a big deal to the 3 million Leafs fans that are on Twitter every night. Like, we hear about them. So, you know, if they have a little more ferocity in their game, a little more viciousness, I believe. And I'm not talking about bringing in a guy like Reeves. I'm talking about guys like Matthews and Marner in the in the playoffs really just showing up and being aggressive. Follow Alex Nylander's play in the playoffs, I think, would be a good suggestion for those two. But I don't agree that they have a better future than the Habs long term. I do agree the Leafs right now should be considered cup favorites. Even Matthew Nyes is doing really well. That defense is a bit of an issue, though. If you go and you look at the Leafs compared to last year, their numbers are so much worse. So, anyways. Simon demande, parles-tu français? Oui, avec plaisir et enthousiasme. Simon, absolument. Et comme je disais, on va faire une émission en français bientôt. Now, for now, what we're going to do, I'm going to, again, if you have any New Year's resolutions to throw in there. Oh, I went off topic when Trizak asked. So my New Year's resolution is going to be to try to be good at all times. I don't really believe in this, like, incremental bullshit of, you know, reaching, well, obviously, I don't pay attention to small incremental changes. Maybe losing weight should be on there. You know what? Deleting Uber Eats from my phone. Did you know that Dairy Queen delivers? I do. But just being good, you know, just being a good person, I think, is the most important thing in the world. You know, so many times that things can be diffused by just being good, just being like, just being nice, just taking that extra second. If you see an old person in front of you struggling to drive, don't get mad. You're going to be old too. I don't make the month to make a sitcom out of it, but you're going to be old too. Let them go. Take a breather. You know, there's always tomorrow. We live some of the best life, like in the existence of humanity. We're right at the best point. And most of us who live in Canada or other developed countries, we're so lucky we won the birthplace lottery, right? So take advantage that we live such a privileged and awesome life. Enjoy life to its fullest, which I do. I have to admit, I really do that a lot and probably a little too much. But just go out there and have fun and be nice. It's as simple as that, right? When it comes down to it, be nice. Be the person your dog thinks you are. That's my suggestion. That's what I'm going to try to do in New Year's resolution, is just try to be the person every dog thinks you are. I think that would be a good one. Oui, merci Simon. Mentionne, je te souhaite une bonne année 2024. Yes, absolutely, pareillement à toi, Simon. Your outrage says your resolution is to become competent in French. C'est difficile pour un Anglo. I will say this. Learning French, okay. My best suggestion to learn French is to be born in a French family. Because on the fly, learning on the fly as an adult is very difficult. Right now, we're teaching my godson French. And it's been about 4 years now that we only speak to him in French. And, well, his mom speaks to him in English, obviously, because she is English. But it takes so much effort. And I almost lost my English when I lived in Ottawa. I also moved to a place called Renfrew, which that was, I guess, my, like, penance for life. But so, moi, j'avais quasiment perdu mon français. I had almost lost my French. And coming back to Montreal, practicing it, obviously, I still have a slight French accent when I speak English and a slight English accent when I speak French. But you really need to practice it. You need to be... And the other thing is reading. Reading makes it so much easier. Maybe I shouldn't be giving language tips. But so much easier to, you know, it's the best way to improve your vocabulary, etc. And that's one thing I used to love doing. Because there was the Pizza Hut Club. Did anyone remember the Pizza Hut Club where they'd give you pizzas for reading? Best bribery ever. But anyways, read. That is good. And also, if you have the chance, Watch RDS, okay? Pierre Houde. See, this is how tired I am. I'm forgetting his name. I really should have just grabbed a shower instead of coming straight from the woods. I'm not going to lie. I'm having a hard time tonight. But Pierre Houde does a better job promoting our beautiful language, and it really is, le français, c'est tellement, en tout cas, than anyone else in this province and country. And why? Because he has a simple, yet concise, you know, good job, Marc. Those definitely aren't very similar, but it's not a contrived way of going about it. And he has a clear, clear, distinct voice. It's just his communication is smooth like butter. And you start picking up words here and there. And his vocabulary is a little more extensive than most, but you start picking that up. And there's oudzism, as we call him, des rififi, puis l'aveuglette. But really, he's a really great way to start to understand words here and there. And if it's all Latin-based, right? So if you know Italian or anything like that, you will probably have a better chance at it. But if you only know English, it's very difficult. I will admit, it's very difficult. So when Nick Suzuki said he was going to learn English, I'm like, man... French. Yeah, I'm not tired at all. When he said he was going to learn French, I thought, hey, man, like, I hope so, but that's a big deal. That's a big deal to do as an adult, and that's basically because of it. And as Adam mentions here, I still have my French because of ILDS. There you go. And also, some people take French immersion, but every single person that I've ever met in my life, I ask them, like, do you speak French? They say, no. But then they say, but I took French immersion. Not a single person that's ever taken French immersion has ever kept their French. So it really has to be practiced. Sérieux, là. So don't take it to heart if you're having a hard time learning French. I really want you to keep at it, but it's difficile. C'est difficile. C'est tellement une des meilleures langues qu'il n'y a pas. Et moi, j'aime ça parler en français avec plaisir et enthousiasme. Okay, a shower stream. Yeah, Truzak mentions a shower stream might have been against the YouTube TOS. Yeah, I would have gotten reported for monsters. What else do we have here? Canada kicked German ass in the third. Yeah, good thing that Beck and friends showed up. But I think the other countries are catching up, eh? The World Juniors aren't just ours anymore. We can't just send these teams that were, for some reason, we're designing for the NHL, but they're going to be in a short tournament. We got to send just pure talent. Canada has been coasting on talent in both the women's and men's teams for a long time. And speaking of the women's teams, we have, I saw a comment here one moment. Oh, Melissa. My wish this year is that the PWHL has a good season and that the fans show up. Ticket sales are going incredibly well. Look, I'm disappointed they don't have logos or team names. I think that's stupid. I don't be harsh to me. Moves is like if the South Louisiana minor league, you know, softball slow pitch can get team names and logos, the PWHL can too. But they focus on other parts of logistics of the rollout. The ticket sales are going great. And here's the best part. Every time I post about it, like, guys, we have to calm down with how arrogant we are about this, because guys will come into my feed and be like, well, you know, I hope they don't ask for more money from the NHL. Bitch, there's no money from the NHL. This is absolutely has nothing to do with the NHL, and that's why it's going to succeed. I tell you right now, the NHL was never serious about the women's game. Never. They wanted to essentially have no part in it and take all the credit while not having any part with it. So the NHL has nothing to do with it. And the owner of the PWHL, Mark Walters, he has fuck you money. And that's the cool part here. So money's not an issue. They're on TV. RDS is going to hold, they're going to carry their games. TVA is going to carry their games. The PWHL is going to be a success. We're going to see the best players in the world play every single day. And I still remember going to games where, you know, you had Caroline Ouellette was playing right beside, you know, Marie-Philippe Poulin and Anne-Sophie Bété. And then you had, like, just Lauriane Rougeau. For $8, you would get to see all the best players in the world. And these are the ones who every 4 years we're going crazy cheering for. Trust me, the games are as good there. Fans are going to show up. I know the ticket sales are going really well in Montreal. Montreal has always had a really strong fan base for Les Canadiens and the Stars before them. So I'm just so happy that they're going to get their time, because I feel like we got robbed of a lot of good years of Marie-Philippe Poulin. And what you said there, you mentioned, I hope the fans show up. Yes, it's important that the fans show up. But I will say this, Montreal's never been an issue with the fans. Like, they've been there from the get-go. And it's go to a game if you get a chance. Now, the tickets are going to be a little more expensive this year, $30-$40-ish. But it's going to be worth it. And it's also going to be tough to get tickets because they're selling out. I know the Ottawa game was sold out. I believe the Toronto game was sold out. And the first game in Montreal, I believe, is sold out. And I believe I should probably check these things, but I believe the season tickets are sold out as well. Or really good sales, essentially. Okay. Melissa mentions, I'm going to the games. Yes. Yeah. Well, as Mac mentions, the Women's League, there's so much talent, and you're really having like those six teams, Minnesota, Boston, Toronto, anyways, really a ton of, and Ottawa has a really good team too. I don't know how they landed so many good players. Well, it's just that it's evenly split. You have basically like six, seven, gold medalists per team, right? And that's really, really good. Like, essentially, you're getting the same talent level as you would have at the original six, except for with modern training techniques, right? So, yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm really... And you know what's fun? I get to be a fan. Because I don't really get... Like, I have fun with you, all of you, but I still... Like, if the Habs screw up, I'll admit it. If they take a penalty, and I know I'm not popular for this, I'll be like, yeah, they deserve that damn penalty. But with the women's game, I believe for once, for the first time in a long damn time, I get to be a hockey fan. And... One story I always go back to, it was, why am I forgetting her name? Charlene Labonte's game in her home arena. And I was sitting with Meg Hewins. She was the GM for the Canadiens. Very, 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 very nice person. And I went as like media. I wasn't really. I was just going to check it out. I had a bit of a hero complex too. I thought I could come in here and save the women's game. I realized that I was just being, you know, classic dude. Anyways, and after they scored a goal, I remember I was looking around and everyone was cheering. They were happy. But when in the NHL people score, and I'm not trying to insult hockey fans in the NHL, but they're angry. They're like, yeah! Whereas in the PWHL or the CWHL, they're like, yeah! So there's that difference. I don't know. It's almost like a more pure version of fanship, if that makes any sense. You know? So, but I do hear myself not making as much sense right now. And I think we are going to close it down. Yeah, and also, as Melissa mentions, there's Nila's coming in for... I don't want to massacre her last name, and I really think it's important to get the names right, and I didn't study it beforehand, so I'm just going to skip over it, but she looks like she's going to put people like Marie-Philippe Poulin to shame, which is going to be fun. And it's not just Marie-Philippe Poulin, like even Anne Desbiens, there's so many talented women coming up now that we just, thankfully, we're going to get to see more than every 4 years. So I don't think there's a better way to, and RDS is going to carry it, and they've been doing a great job. I'm listening to Danielle Savageau on Habs Games has been just amazing. Like, she's just the godmother of hockey, right, in Canada. So yeah, everything about it is cool. And this is a Montreal Canadiens stream, but I love talking women's hockey because it's something that it's fun, man. And there's so few opportunities in this world to just have pure fun, and it's good hockey too. You know what really get and okay, I know I said we're gonna stop five times, but what really makes me laugh is every 4 years people watch the games and they'll be like, hey, these women can really skate. Like, yeah, man. Like, what do you think we've been watching? Do you think, like, yes, they can skate and they're aggressive and they actually, they beat the crap out of each other and they score nice goals. Why do you think so many of us love it? So I encourage everyone to take a chance to jump in for the PWHL. It should be a great show. Okay, merci tout le monde. Again, thank you all. We have Adam, we have Tanmender, we have Trizak, we all our Trinka isn't here, but you know, always there. Mac was here today. Outrage. Kay has been great all year. Mac Dag has joined us a lot recently. Melissa has joined us all year, I believe. Thank you all so much. There's so many people that are vying for attention and deserve more attention than us and more support than us. So we're just lucky to have you here. Honestly, I love you all. I hope everyone has a very, very, very great 2024. For those of you that aren't having a great 2023, keep your head up. I know sometimes listening to someone like me ramble on and on about how good things can be is can be a little tiring. If you ever need to talk, reach out on Twitter and we'll get to talking. I'm pretty good, even though I know I've rambled for how long now? About an hour? I'm pretty good at listening to when we get the chance. So if ever there's an issue, please reach out to me. You're not alone. I know. When everyone else is having fun, sometimes it's when you're at your darkest, and we're here for you. It gets better and better as you speak out about it, as you get help about it, and it's not going to go away tomorrow, but it gets better tomorrow, slightly, then the next day, slightly. There's fewer and fewer bad days, so if ever there's an issue, reach out, and I do want to thank everyone, again, for joining us all year. Awesome chat. We depend so much on all of you that it saves me time. You know, I can just come straight from the woods, as I did after this show, and skip the shower and everything, go right live, because I know we're going to have great guests, and our guests are our fans. So, Make sure to like it. Make sure to subscribe. And we'll be back. I don't know. Are the Habs playing tomorrow? I'm so tired. Are they playing tomorrow? We'll give it one more second. Someone is going to answer that. I don't think they are. I think they're playing the second or something. And also, you're going to see me because Andrew took over the 28th and the 30th. So I'm going to take a few games and we're going to give Andrew a chance to relax with his family, with his beautiful children who I've done a terrible... I have to go see them soon. I owe them like piggyback rides and I believe that the Tickle Monster sessions are coming. They're the Tickle Monsters, though. I'm just a victim. So I'm going to go hang out with them pretty soon. Josh the Nerd says, hey, Josh, what's up? Hey, well, that's good. Tuesday's the next game. Well, for the last time... that's the end of their 7-game road trip in Dallas. The Stars, fun team to play. For the last time in 2023, I will thank everyone for their support. Merci beaucoup. Je vous aime tous. Please join us on Tuesday, as Josh mentions... Again, it will be against Dallas, and as Kay says, that'll be back-to-back-to-back-to-back. Well, that's, yeah, you're going to get triple mark, which is considered crime and unusual torture in some countries. But over here, some people like it, and I do want to thank everyone for all your support. Again, I know I'm rambling. It's time to wrap it all up. Thanks to everyone in the chat. Thanks to everyone that downloads it. And Claire's not here. But she actually told me, she went out on her way to tell me on Twitter that she wasn't going to be here. So we're going to end this the exact same way we've ended it every single episode this year. Even with my hoarse voice and my bleeding head because of the wound I got in the forest while chasing my dog and my deer. We're going to end it the same way we always do and the same way we will in 2024. Bye, Claire.